Hello, it's Undine from Awakened Soul Yoga, and welcome to this special podcast episode specifically aimed at new yoga teachers just starting out or teachers wanting to start their own businesses and looking for tips and advice around how to move forward. As a teacher of almost 20 years, I've been noticing new yoga teachers struggling to work out how to make a career from teaching. So my guest today is Bryony Lancaster, one of the founders and owners of the popular Sydney yoga studio, Egg of the Universe. Together, we have almost 40 years of teaching experience and running studio spaces. So buckle up and get ready. This is a conversation you don't want to miss. Welcome, Bryony. I'm thrilled to have you here. So thank you so much for taking the time from your super busy schedule to join me for this important conversation. Let's dive straight in.
Lovely to be here with you.
Thank you. We have to wear so many hats as yoga teachers and business owners. So it's amazing to have you share the wealth of knowledge you've gained over so many years of experience, not just teaching yoga, but also being in business. You've had a long and illustrious career as a teacher, I think almost 20 years now, is that right?
Yeah, coming up to 20 years.
Coming up to 20 years. So can you start by telling us a little about you, how you became interested in yoga, and how your beautiful Egg of the Universe Studios came about?
Yes, sure. So firstly, I began about 20 years ago after working in film production and television production for many years. And often the best part of my day was after the 6 a.m. class that I would always go to before kind of a 12 or 14 hour day in the production office. So after many years of doing that, I remember coming home from work one day and saying to my husband, who I'm still together with now, you know, I'm just so tired of working in film production and I'm just going to go and be a yoga teacher. And thank God, goodness, he said at the time, go for it. And then within 2 weeks, I was in LA doing my first training and had resigned from my job. And yeah, the rest was history. It was helped actually by my studio owner, Darren Ma, who's still a good friend, who said to me at the time, you would be a great teacher, you should go and do it. So it was that personal kind of recommendation and personal support by him that allowed that confidence. And I could really see myself as a teacher. I could see myself in the room. And so I just leapt, and I was young and just decided just to go for it. And then he also gave me kind of 10 to 14 classes a week as soon as I got back. And I think that was something that was the greatest gift, because as you know, when you first start, it's just so important to get those first 100 or 200 classes just done so that you can really get over the nerves and get over that those hindrances of becoming a teacher and just get the confidence. So that was a real gift from him. And then, I mean, he's been very instrumental, I guess, in our career, because then we moved to England and I taught in England for a number of years. And then the Roselle studio came up for sale, which was then a Bikram studio. And by that stage, we'd, having trained and taught in Bikram, had moved away from that and more into vinyasa and meditation. And so his studio came up for sale in Roselle that I taught at. And we thought, what better opportunity to dive in and turn what was very much a failing yoga studio into what was then many, many years later to become Egg of the Universe after a couple of other iterations and names. But that's where it all began.
How amazing. I love that story. I didn't even know that story. So thank you so much for sharing. Can I ask you where you did your training in LA? Just out of interest.
Yeah, so the first training I ever did was with Bikram Chowdhury for the 500-hour Bikram yoga teacher training. And so I think what appealed to me about that first is at school I was an athlete, so a sprinter. And so what I loved about the Bikram method was it was so incredibly challenging. And then when I got to LA and did the training, while there were so many holes in the training and so much missing, from an actual, you know, teacher who what I would sort of be able to respect, it did teach me a hell of a lot, actually, about delivering a strong yoga class. And again, I'll be forever grateful. I don't regret any decisions in that respect. And then I've obviously gone on to do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other hours in vinyasa and yin yoga and meditation and energetics and prenatal and kids yoga and trauma sensitive yoga and sort of, but that was my very first one.
Wow, that's so amazing. And oh, incredible. I love that story. So I'm sure there are many teachers listening who may be supplementing their yoga teacher income by working other jobs to help them get by. You've already kind of shared how you transitioned into the full-time teaching and the getting up the studio. Do you have any advice that you can give about how to make that transition more graceful for people?
That's such a great question. And my answer's changed over the years. You know, when I, and probably you, were learning to become a full-time teacher, the industry was very different. So and this is just who I am as a person. When I commit to something, I'm all in. So I just decided to throw the towel in on the film and TV production. And I just was so lucky to get the classes from Darren straight up. So I didn't need to supplement. I was so lucky. That is very rare. That kind of never happens anymore. It's also really tricky, especially if you live in a city like Sydney, to be just a teacher, because the cost of living versus what you can earn as a new teacher is incredibly hard. So, and again, we all did it when we were young. We were teaching 16, 17, sometimes 20 classes a week. But that's not everybody's cup of tea, and not everyone has those opportunities. So in the olden days, when I used to really believe in that full-time yoga teacher is the best way, I really thought full-time yoga teachers have a special sense about them. They're just all about yoga. They're reading about it on their downtime. They're taking classes. They're immersed in it. They're doing other teachers' classes. They're feedbacking each other. And that's how the generation of teachers like myself and Nick Walsh and Mel McLaughlin and no doubt you, we all grew up on that, just feeding on growing to be the best we could as quickly as we could. However, now I do actually think there's a lot to be said for having a part-time job so that you can kind of have your rent or mortgage covered. And you can really savor and enjoy the yoga teaching that you do without the pressure of, oh my God, I've got to teach six more classes a month. So it's really changed for me. Now, I used to almost only hire full-time yoga teachers. Again, you know, I've been running a studio for 17 years, so a lot's changed. Now, most of my teachers, bar one probably, have a part-time job that they do to supplement the yoga income. And don't forget, our studio's in Sydney. It's one of the most expensive cities in the world. So I think it's got to be what works for you. Does full-time work, in which case go for it. And you have my full blessing and support, and it's going to be such an adventure. And also, if you need to keep part-time work, I think there's some sense in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I know in my case, when I first came to Sydney after studying in India for 5 years, it took me a good two, almost 3 years to transition to full-time teaching. And I had a job working in the theater in the evenings so I could keep my days free to be able to teach classes. And it was it was a challenge, because I remember literally I was on my bike and I would be teaching a class and then running to the theater to do dress rehearsals, and then biking back to the studio where I was teaching and doing another class, and then going back and forth and back and forth. And then eventually I was, you know, lucky enough to also be able to become a full-time teacher. But I think what you say is really, really important, that maybe to take the pressure off ourselves financially, and so that teaching still is joyful and something that still brings you you know, is still something that you really feel committed to. I think sometimes it's really good to take that pressure off and have something that supports you on the side. And I think, you know, maybe even more so now, I'm not sure how you feel about this, but more so now after what we've been through over the last 4 years with the COVID-19 pandemic, I think that the world of yoga has shifted and changed since then, and things are very different. And maybe it's a little more challenging, not impossible, to be a full-time teacher. But do you have anything that you wanted to maybe contribute around how you've seen the world of yoga change since the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has shifted astronomically. Again, we've been looking at international yoga trends for 17 years. And when we began, yoga was this burgeoning kind of industry, and it was the cool thing to do. So as well as the people who were dedicated to yoga as a way of life, there were also the people who thought, well, let's go to yoga class and then out for lunch, because it was kind of like the in thing to do. That has definitely shifted post-pandemic, and now Pilates is that. So Pilates studios are on the rise, and everyone sort of goes to Pilates and then out for lunch. So, I mean, we know statistically that the figures for people practicing yoga has shifted. A lot of people have gone online. For a lot of people, it just fell off the radar. We still have people coming back in now a year or two later going, oh, my God, I just fell out of the habit and now I'm back. God, it feels so good. I missed it so much. So I think, yes, we know that the pandemic has changed global patterns, and we know that many yoga studios didn't survive, chose to close, or had to close. I mean, especially in America and in big cities like Sydney, that so many have closed down. And so, and to answer your question, I think then it is really smart to have a couple of things that you can do so that you're not solely reliant on yoga teaching. Also, what yoga teachers are paid has decreased post-pandemic, even for the bigger studios. So I think it's a really tough time to be a yoga teacher, and I can never remember a time that it's more important. So it's kind of like, yes, now yoga isn't the cool thing to do, in inverted commas. It is more, it allows us as yoga teachers to dive really deeply and offer a true essence of what yoga is. So you're incorporating pranayama, you're incorporating meditation, you're weaving in philosophy fearlessly, so that people are getting what yoga can offer, which is, you know, this compass in such a crazy time at the moment to help people find their own true north. And I think, you know, the way I see yoga teachers is as leaders. They're leaders in society to help people find direction in the absence of, you know, organized religion and stuff. You know, no one's going to church anymore on a Sunday morning, but they are going to yoga. And so as yoga teachers, we have the skills, you know, especially those of us being 2 decades in, it's kind of like we have so much to share. And even for new yoga teachers who are listening, no doubt you had a wonderful training, and just keep learning so that what you're sharing is so helpful for people. Find more equanimity, direction, skills for life, which is undoubtedly tough, you know.
Yeah. And I really believe that we are ultimately providers of a service. Right. So we're serving people. I think that's one of our dharmas, you know, one of our objectives as teachers is to serve people. And I often see it that we carry the spiritual toolbox of all these incredible ancient techniques that are absolutely timeless, and especially now more than ever, where the world has changed so dramatically over the last couple of years. And people are really struggling on all kinds of levels, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, that these techniques can really support, you know, can really support the practitioner. And I think the work that we're doing now, as you say, as leaders, is so incredibly important. So, and I actually just wanted to circle back. I was thinking, just as we were talking about, just before I move on to my next question, we were talking about just previously having, you know, a job to support your teaching career. I'm thinking of the book that I read by Elizabeth Gilbert. I don't know if you've read it. It's called Big Magic.
Yeah.
It's all about creativity. But she talks about in that book having day jobs, plural, while she was writing her first books. And it's really interesting. She was still having day jobs while writing her first three books. And those three books all won national book awards in the United States. And she still didn't feel comfortable committing to full-time writing until the success of her fourth book, which was Eat, Pray, Love. And it was only then that she kind of felt, okay, well, now I'm in a place where I can comfortably transition to full-time writing. But I think it's really interesting to remember that it's a process and that it takes time and that we need a lot of patience and resilience and dedication.
Yes, 100% all of that. And I think that's beautiful. I didn't know that about Elizabeth. I think the other thing that's just popped into my head is diversifying as well. So I know that you and I have spoken about this is, yes, teaching studios, but also do one-on-ones, keep training so that you can specialize, you know, get the prenatal training, get the trauma sensitive awareness so that you can specialize and stand out and offer, you know, corporate classes, one-on-one classes, meditate, you know, so that you can diversify so that no matter what comes, you've got adaptability. And then, you know, if you've got your little part-time job as well, or even your full-time job, as you say, you're teaching early morning, late at night, then you're good, you know, you can relax into that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I remember one of the things that my teacher always said to us is that the importance of being able to adjust, adapt, and accommodate to any situation, like the three A's, you know, because then you have versatility as a teacher. You're not just a one-trick pony because it's not really enough anymore. I don't know if you agree, but it's not really enough anymore to just teach a stock standard yoga class. It's really important to have multiple skills as a teacher so that you can really cover a lot of ground because, you know, people are so talented these days. And as you say, if you want to stand out, then you need to have a few, you know, and obviously it's also really important to continue to grow and learn and continue your education, even when you're 20 years in, like you and I both are. It's a never ending journey. And adding more strings to your bow is so important for your own personal growth, but also for your ability to be able to serve your community more and more, you know, as the years go by. So yeah, that's really important.
I mean, one of my things that I always remember is, and remind my teachers is, we can only take our students as far as we've traveled. So I think I don't see ourselves as, you know, on this big pedestal or anything like that. It's just like you're one or two steps in front of your class. It's like you're walking through a path at night and you've got a torch and you're just going, just watch out for that little, you know, stone and watch this branch. And oh, did you notice this view? And look, there's a little butterfly. It's kind of like you're just there with them, just pointing out things. And so, but we can only go as far as we've gone. And so I think it's a wasted opportunity. Although, I mean, for me, it's beautiful to keep going on our journey so that we can keep taking people further and further. And that weaves in things like, yes, more trainings, yes, that, but also self-awareness, right? And weaving in things reading amazing books, getting therapy, finding where our blocks are, uncovering them. So it's a multi-wheeled approach to move through the process. You know, we can't just do it all with breath work and sun salutations.
Exactly. And I think that sometimes people think, you know, that that's going to be enough, you know. And I know for me, I've had lots of people comment about when I've said something like, oh, well, you know, I have a little bit of an injury right now, you know, and people are like, well, why would you have an injury? You practice yoga, you know, like you should be perfect, or you should have perfect health, or, you know. And it's kind of like very, you know, and it's, everything's a journey, and it's not necessarily yoga related. It might be an emotional block, you know. It's, there's so much. And as you say, I think there are so many important aspects that we need to look at other than just yoga. It's not the be all and end all of everything. And I think that multi-layered approach where we're open to receiving all different types of therapies and techniques to help us grow and evolve. And as you say, it's like we're just sharing the information that we learn with the people who we teach and passing on that wisdom and that torch. And I often like to say that, you know, we're just teachers are just vessels for which the information of yoga flows through. So it flows through us and out of us into, you know, the students, and that it's just this beautiful lineage of passing on this wisdom from teacher to student, and that it just keeps it alive, you know? Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, I've always been fascinated by my own evolution as a teacher. So, and when I look back at my career and how much my teaching style has changed over the years, it's an interesting journey to observe. You've been running EGG with your partner, Harry, for many years now. So can you tell me how you feel you've evolved as a teacher over time and how your business has also evolved?
That's a great question. So, yeah, we've been running EGG for 17 years. I bought it as a failing Bikram studio. In that it was just not profitable by failing. It still had a lovely community. We turned it around and started introducing vinyasa yoga, and then shortly thereafter meditation and yin. So myself as a teacher has changed remarkably from obviously a Bikram teacher to a vinyasa teacher to a meditation teacher to a yin teacher, going from being very nervous and shy to managing a team of teachers and becoming a leader within that community. And then also over the years, learning to run workshops and then retreats and finally teacher trainings, writing a book, writing articles, and learning to trust. It took a long time, but learning to trust that I had the wisdom within, that I was ready to share on different platforms, I suppose, and really trusting that. My teacher, Sarah Powers, has a beautiful word for it, Vajra pride. And it's a pride that we get from doing the work, from sitting on the cushion, from meditating daily for 15 years, for doing yoga for 25 years. It's in you, so that then there comes a time where you feel so comfortable sharing it. So that's as a teacher, this comfortability in teaching what I know in my cells and my bones. And as a person, I've changed extraordinarily, because when I was young and took on the studio, I was terrified of leading anything. I was terrified of being the boss. I was terrified about being, you know, the boss, the lady boss, and really worried about upsetting people and hurting feelings. I didn't know how to give feedback. I didn't know how to fire people. I didn't know anything. And that fear of needing to be liked and by everybody was so stagnating that I wasn't able to do anything. So I think my biggest development as a person over that 17 years is learning to stand in a position of strength with what I want to create with my husband, of course, Harry, who's been side by side the whole time, and creating a vision very clearly and being able to stand in the ups and the downs. And let's face it, the pandemic years were very, very hard and, you know, brought most of us to our knees as yoga teachers and business owners. And so to be able to stand in both the light of what we've created and also the shadow of what we've been a part of and created, and to find myself and my center within that, has been definitely one of the hardest things, but one of the most valuable things of this life. And I think one of the reasons I was put into this position in this life was to try to learn that. And step away from very deep patterns of not being in a leadership position, not doing anything that could ruffle feathers, not upsetting everyone, keeping everyone happy, keeping the peace, don't do anything, and learning to step outside of that with all of the beauty and all of the pain that it creates.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that because I see for myself also that being in business for myself has pushed me so far out of my comfort zone, which I think is ultimately deeply uncomfortable a lot of times, but also ultimately for my growth and evolution, not just as a teacher, but more as a person, is extraordinary. And I think if we're able to hold, like you say, both the light and also the shadow of what that entails, then I think it's just such a beautiful experience. And I think that's one of the things for me about running my own business is that how much I've grown as a person and as a teacher, because ultimately it's the only thing that you can really do, isn't it? Like, you get more and more out of your comfort zone because you're asked to do more and more. You know, you have to put yourself out there, you have to make yourself seen. You can't kind of hide and make yourself small and not use your voice. You have to, all of those things, you know, and it can be incredibly challenging. So I think that that's one of the advantages of running your own business, for me anyway. And I know that that's possibly not for everyone, because it can be incredibly challenging. But for me anyway, even though it has been challenging, it's also been probably one of the most rewarding things that I have done, because I see my own personal growth over that time as well. Over the last 20 years, I see, as you say, how I started just insecure and, you know, nervous, and what are people thinking of me as a teacher, and very based on my own, like making it about me, right, rather than the service that I'm providing for other people. And that I'm not, it's not about me, I'm the channel. This yoga, the knowledge of yoga has been around for centuries, and I'm just the channel that transmits that knowledge, right? So it's an interesting process, but yeah.
It certainly is. Yeah, and you're right, not everyone has the capacity to run their own business, and that's fine. You know, I've got teachers who've taught with us for over 10 years, sometimes 15, and they're just the most amazing humans. And sometimes people say to them, why don't you open your own business? And they're just like, no way, you know, so they just don't want to. And that's fine as well. I think to come back to the last part of your question that I didn't quite get to with Egg of the Universe, how that's changed is it's always reflected what Harry and I are doing at home. So we started doing Bikram together. We then found Vinyasa Yoga and loved the fluidity and the balance of the masculine, feminine elements within the practice that it offered. So we started offering Vinyasa. Then we found our meditation and energetics teacher who we studied with for 15 years, and we started developing meditation practices and offering that. Then I found Sarah Powers and Yin, and we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. We have to offer this. So we never were doing it from what's the market doing and let's reflect that. It was what are we doing and what's our passion? And then it was very successful because of that. And so Egg has changed. I mean, it's changed names. We've had a number of different names, but also what we've offered has changed to reflect where we are in our own practice, in our own lives. And that's, I think, a big one for, you know, teach what you know, teach what you love, teach what is within you, rather than sort of reading about it and knowing it in your head. Put it through the filter of your body, and then what you teach, it's your truth. You don't have to pretend, because it's what you've put through, you've done it, so then you can know it and then share it.
It's what you're embodying. It's like you're living the lifestyle, and also you're just in alignment with what's kind of speaking to you viscerally in your body, right? How, what lights up your heart and your soul, and then following that. Because I also believe that when we're truly following that North Star of what our heart is kind of dictating to us that it wants to do or it wants to teach, then you can't really go wrong in many ways, because you're just following your dharma, you're following your truth, you're following the path that is, you know, true to you. So yeah, that's beautiful.
I agree. Yeah, find your true north.
Yeah, your true north, exactly. So tell me what the one piece of advice, what you think is the most important piece that you wish you had known at the beginning of starting your business that would have been a game changer.
It's funny, it's a beautiful question. I don't think I would have listened to any advice even if it was given to me. I was so driven and passionate. All I could see was success, and this is what I wanted to do. There was no room for any doubt whatsoever. But I guess what could have been useful from an older teacher, a mentor, and it would have just saved energy in the beginning, was don't focus on pleasing everybody. You know, sometimes there can be 30 people in the room or 20 or 10 or whatever, and everyone leaves with a big smile and thank you, and one grumpy person sneaks out the back door or whatever, and you can spend half an hour thinking about why didn't they say thank you? What was going on with them? And we can just put, depending on our pathology, of course, you can put a lot of energy into that. So I guess that could have been useful. It wouldn't have been a game changer, but it would have saved a lot of my energy. I mean, looking back, that was part of my path anyway, learning not to worry about pleasing everybody. But I think as a new teacher, come back to what's true for you. Get really clear on what's important to you and true to you, and then teach that from your heart, fearlessly, and don't worry about trying to please everyone. And you're not here to make friends. You're here to teach yoga. So teach it with love, bravely and fearlessly, and just trust yourself.
I love that. While you were speaking about that, also some advice that my teacher also said was teach what people need and not what they want, which I think ties in really nicely to what you're saying, because oftentimes students in my experience sometimes like to dictate what they want you to teach them from their own kind of ego base and what they think would be good for them, but they're not necessarily the best people to understand what they actually need rather than what they want. And I think that's really important, that you're not going to necessarily satisfy everyone in the room, and that's okay. You might not be the teacher for them, and then that's okay. And to just let people come and go as they please, give them that sovereignty, give them that freedom, and don't get attached to having, you know, like you said, to having every single student love you as a teacher, you know, because it's just not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen. And I think that's really important. Yeah, what you just said as well, and just trust the right people for you will come to you, and the ones that are not won't, and we just cannot please everyone.
That's exactly right. So with what you just said, my next question was really, what is the number one characteristic you think a yoga teacher needs to succeed in business? So I'm not sure if it's different to what you just said, which is to kind of follow, if that's the most, you know, the number one most important thing, to follow their heart and really get really clear about what it is they want to teach and then go from there? Or do you think there are other things, other characteristics that you need to be successful in business?
Okay, that's such a great question, because I think you can be a successful yoga teacher and not great at business as well, right? You can be a brilliant yoga teacher and not have good boundaries around money or conversations with money. So I think to be a successful yoga teacher and successful in business, it's really tough, and it combines. So I think being a great yoga teacher, get really clear on, just keep doing the work. You've got to keep going in your own practice so that you can keep leading from a place of knowing. So keep doing the work and leading from what you know. Be adaptable and be fiercely passionate, and that passion will come through to your students. And as soon as that passion starts to fade, do have a break, find a new mentor, do another training. You're getting stuck at a plateau, you've got to go deeper. And so if people start getting sort of burnt out and tired, it's like, it's an opportunity to go deeper. Something's not working, so listen to that and find something where you're more in flow. And then to be successful in business, then that's a whole nother kettle of fish. But I think to have boundaries, to not be afraid to talk money and organize yourself financially, And to really, whether or not you're going to do a solo business or open a studio or run an online business or all of the above, yeah, just to be so clear on your vision and what you want to create, but more importantly, how you want to feel once you've created it. So that sometimes we think we want something, but then it doesn't feel the way we think it's going to feel when we have it. So to be really clear about the vision of what it looks like, and most importantly, how it feels. Yeah.
I love that, how it feels, because that ultimately is the ultimate driver, isn't it? When something makes you feel amazing, you want to continue doing it. You want to continue sharing and spreading the love because it just brings you so much joy. That's really important. For me, I also think that falling in love with all aspects of running a business is also important, because a lot of people I know are just only interested in wanting to teach yoga, but maybe they're not interested in the admin side or doing their tax and all that kind of thing. But I know for me that now, after all of this time, I just love kind of all aspects of running my business. And that's not to say that I haven't been deeply challenged by some aspects of running my business, like social media. For me is quite a challenging task, but I'm also just finding ways to make it enjoyable. And I think that if we can kind of do that, where we, you know, like, okay, so every month I have to sit down and do my tax, but, you know, it's also really important that we don't bury our heads in the sand and, you know, kind of, or cover our ears and go, la, 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 I don't want to have a look at my numbers, you know, but to really know where you're at and what the things that you're offering, the things that are making money, so that you know how to do more of that. And maybe the things that aren't making money, you might want to let them go. And having, again, the adaptability and the, you know, adjusting, accommodating and adapting yourself to know that it's a constantly changing beast running a business. Like, it's never going to be static. You're never going to be offering just one specific set of things. You know, things are going to shift and change. And yes, you might have a structure, but also when things aren't working, knowing when to let go, you know, and just understanding that there needs to be a level of flexibility, mental flexibility also, I think, to change what doesn't work in your business. Would you agree?
I think really well said. And because also, as you say, if you're to have the awareness of what we're struggling with, and to put that through the filter of our practice. Like, we can't just ignore the finances. We can't, and I'm the same, I find social media really challenging. And it's interesting, like, why is that? Why am I so shy on social media? Why, how can I look at that and go, okay, well, so how can I do it in a way that feels like it is in integrity for me? And so I guess it's the same thing as above, so below, right? How can we bring our yoga to our business? How can we hustle with heart? How can we have a strong back, soft front, to use Brené Brown's words? How can we bring yoga to a conversation where we have to fire someone? How can we, you know, break, you know, how can we do these things with integrity even when they're hard? And when, again, we've had to look at that a lot in the last few years, and but it's kind of like, it is all part of the practice. It's all bringing yoga to life. None of it's not yoga. And so if we can do our taxes with that awareness and mindfulness, and just notice our resistance and how we leave it to the last minute, or notice how we're putting off social media because we don't believe in ourselves, or whatever it is, shine the light of awareness on every single corner of our lives and bring about more freedom.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I love that, because it's just another opportunity to grow, isn't it, as a person. And I think just having that awareness around everything that we do is part of our practice. It's not just the practice we do on the mat or the teaching. It's, you know, what we're doing off the mat, and how we're allowing the yoga to disperse throughout our entire life and affect and influence people around us, you know. And also, people are very, you know, we emotions are contagious, and the things that we do are also contagious. And I think that we can be examples as well, you know, and other people can really see. I think rather than what we say, is what we do can be more influential. So if we're able to bring awareness to everything, and then people can see how that creates a, you know, a curiosity, I guess, with life. Like you said, you know, I hate, people often say, I hate doing my taxes. Well, why is that? Let's scratch past the superficial about why that is, and how can we, you know, look at maybe turning that story around into something else, so that doesn't become a moment every month where you suffer for an hour sitting down to do your taxes. Like, why is that? What can you learn about yourself? Because everything is an opportunity for growth and learning,
right? Absolutely. And to share.
Yeah.
Yes, we can be examples. And also, this is why I like when you share about injuries, because it shows we're also human, and we're just, of course, just learning and stumbling ourselves, making mistakes, and then getting up and trying again. As I think Maya Angelou says, you know, do your best until you know better, and then do better. It's kind of like we're just the same. We're just trying our best, stumbling our way through, and I think it's really nice to share that humanness. And if people find that challenging, or why are you injured, or why did you make a mistake, that's just all that is a reflection of where they are at with their own understandings of what humanness looks like, and that perfectly imperfect manifestation of each of us. You know, none of us has this all sorted out.
Yeah, I actually think that's a very important point, because if I look back at the very beginning of my yoga career, I see myself as this person trying to reflect this perfection in a way. Like, I didn't have any issues or problems, and, you know, because I didn't think that that's, I thought that that's what people wanted to see, this perfect yoga teacher in a way. And actually, that was deeply, you know, I think, wrong. Or I think what I see now is that the more you share of your vulnerability, in a sense, obviously you don't have to, you know, you share what feels good to you, but it just shows people that you're like them, and that you're human. And, you know, and I think that there's a lot to be said for being relatable as a teacher, and not putting yourself up on a pedestal, or allowing people to put you up on a pedestal. And I know whenever anyone has ever tried to do that with me, I try to rip it out from underneath them straight away, because I just feel that it's not helpful in any way, shape, or form. I'm just learning alongside them. It's like you said right at the beginning, I just have maybe 10% more knowledge than they do about the journey of yoga that I can offer. And I'm just, they're coming right behind me on my heels, and I'm just slightly ahead of them guiding with a little bit more knowledge that I have because of my years of experience, or with my training, or whatever it is. So I think that that's really important to keep. For me, one of the most important characteristics of a yoga teacher is to have humility and to keep that humble mindset.
Mm-hmm. I love those words by Ram Dass, where he says, we're all just walking each other home.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. I love it. Do you have any final words of wisdom to share for all the teachers out there? You've given already so many amazing nuggets of wisdom, but if there was anything else that you could finish off with, then.
Well, I guess just that. I really, you know, yoga is many years old, and it's been a path that's been followed by thousands before us, and hopefully many thousands after us. And even though it's ancient in its wisdom, I really do feel that it's never been a more crucial time to share the wisdom in a really authentic way that weaves together the philosophy, the meditation, insight practices, breath practices. So I would encourage you to not only do your training, but continue to train, and to find ways to continue to offer what you do know to a wider audience. Because we do know at this time, when the planet and humanity is at such a volatile and extraordinary place, that all it takes is a shift of consciousness, and then things can have a dramatic shift. So I would implore and encourage everybody and anybody listening to keep going, keep finding your own mentors, your own inspiration, and just keep the torch, the light of yoga going as far and as wide as you possibly can, because there's never been a more important time to come home again and whole again with yoga.
Yeah, I love that. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Bryony. Where can people find you if they're interested to know more about you? Maybe you can just let us know your website, your socials, anything like that.
So I'm the founder of Egg of the Universe. So that's our website, eggoftheuniverse.com. We've got a book that my husband and I wrote together called Egg of the Universe. It's both a cookbook and also a seasonal guide to meditation and yoga. And also we'll be launching in early 2024 a lot more online content. We also run teacher trainings and retreats. And yeah, we'd absolutely love to see you along for the ride.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's such a pleasure to call you a friend as well as a colleague. And hopefully let's do it again sometime. I really appreciate your time and thank you again.
Such a pleasure, and I agree. I absolutely love you as one of my friends, and I'd love to come again and help in any way that I can. And thank you so much for thinking of me.
If this podcast resonated with you and you'd like to learn more about my online business course for yoga teachers, The Art of Yoga Business, the essential online course to help your yoga business thrive with integrity, authenticity, and heart, please go to www.awakensoulyoga.com.au/the-art-of-yoga-business. This course takes you through 5 modules designed to help you become proficient in how to start a business of your own so you can have more creative and financial autonomy. I cover so many important topics like building a business from the ground up, skills for business success, the discipline and resilience required to be in business, business administration and tax, marketing, social media, copywriting and storytelling, pricing, leadership, time management, what to consider when you want to start up your own yoga studio, and so much more. This is the course I wish I had access to when I first started my yoga teaching career. And feel free to reach out anytime. My email address is info@awakensoulyoga.com.au.